Our reading today is from Acts chapter 16, looking at verse 16. I won't tell you what page it's on because it will be different. We're reading from the International Children's Bible. Acts 16, verse 16. Once while we were going to the place for prayer, a servant girl met us. She had a special spirit in her. She earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. This girl followed Paul and us. She said loudly, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They are telling you how you can be saved." She kept this up for many days. This bothered Paul, so he turned and said to the Spirit, "By the power of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." Immediately the Spirit came out. The owners of the servant girl saw this. These men knew that now they could not use her to make money. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the city rulers in the marketplace. Here they brought Paul and Silas to the Roman rulers and said, "These men are Jews and are making trouble in our city. They are teaching things that are not right for us as Romans to do." The crowd joined the attack against them. Roman officers took clothes of Paul and Silas, had them beaten with rods again and again. Then Paul and Silas were thrown into jail. The jailer was ordered to guard them carefully. When he heard this order, he put them far inside the jail. He pinned down their feet between large blocks of wood. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a big earthquake. It was so strong that it shook the foundation of the jail. Then all the doors of the jail broke open. All the prisoners were freed from their chains. The jailer woke up and saw that the jail doors were open. He thought that the prisoners had already escaped, so he got his sword and he was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted, "Don't hurt yourself, we are all here." The jailer told someone to bring a light. Then he ran inside. Shaking with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" They said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and all the people in your house." So Paul and Silas told this message of the Lord to the jailer and all the people in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took Paul and Silas and washed their wounds. Then he and all his people were baptized immediately. After this, the jailer took Paul and Silas to his home and gave them food. He and his family were very happy because they now believed in God. The next morning, the Roman officers sent the police to tell the jailer, "Let these men go free." The jailer told Paul, "The officers have sent an order to let you go free. You can now leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the police, "They beat us in public without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and they threw us in jail. Now they want to make us go away quietly. No, let them come out themselves and bring us out." The police told the Roman officers what Paul had said. When the officers heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were afraid. So they came and told Paul and Silas they were sorry. They took Paul and Silas out of jail and asked them to leave the city. So when they came out of the jail, they went to Lydia's house. There they saw some of the believers and encouraged them. Then they left. This is the word of the Lord.
Escape. That's what I want you to think about. Think about escape. Now, with that in mind, have a think about films with escape in it. Elaine's shaking her head. Yeah, yeah. So the obvious one is The Great Escape, so that's the easy on TikTok for this, but okay, how many films, what films do you think of? Not with Escape the title, but with has an escape in the film, somewhere or other. And then I'll do Robbie's. You have to shout out to Mass. Hang on, sorry, guys. Escape to what? I started with The Shawshank Redemption because it was one of my favourite films. Great Escape, yes, yes, yes. Chicken Run, Cold Hit Story, Stalag 17, Midnight Express, The Rock, Snowpiercer, Escape from New York, The Fugitive, The Wooden Horse. I love The Wooden Horse, actually. The Wooden Horse is a great, great film. Papillon, Escape from Alcatraz, which we had, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, Escape to Victory, and Cool Hand Luke, so with Paul Newman, and there was others, and some of the ones I've got here as well. And then I looked at the net, and I found another load, which I haven't written down. There was a whole load of them, lots and lots of escape films, and I was trying to think of what it is they had in common. Now that sounds a bit stupid, really, but it seems to me that they do have sort of two or three things in common. And the first of all, and this is so, so obvious, they all have a person or a group or a chicken, group of chickens, escaping from somewhere. I know that's obvious because the clue's in the title, isn't it? But they're escaping from somewhere. The second thing is they have a plan of some kind or other. It might be a rubbish plan or it might be a really advanced plan. It might be a plan that we find out afterwards, like Shawshank or whatever. But there is a plan in place somewhere. And the third is, I think this is right, is the plan is planned by the person or people trying to escape. And that may not be absolutely true in all cases, I think, but I think it's fairly, on a fairly safe ground. And they are the hero, if you like. I always find it interesting, like something like Escape from Alcatraz or Papillon. They're on, you know, they're in prison on an island or whatever, and they're escaping. We're actually on the prisoner's side. And you have to question yourself, should you be? But actually you want them to succeed. And it's one of those bizarre things. They are the hero or anti-hero, actually, I suppose, is the way. But that's not the case. You think about the Bible reading we had that Sir John said earlier. And that's not quite the case there, is it? Paul and Silas are in prison. And they don't actually escape. In fact, they're not bothered. They sing and they pray. And it might have been a bit tricky with big blocks on the right or hands in fairness or other, but they don't actually escape. The second thing is, they don't seem to have a plan. Now, I know that actually in the background there is really, but actually in terms of what they're doing there and then, they don't have a plan. They're stuck. They don't know what's going to happen next. They just trust. And thirdly, whatever happens to them to enable them to leave the jail, isn't performed by them, They're not the heroes. Someone else is. I think it was really, and it's a really interesting contrast between escape films and escapes that we sort of know about, and this one, where actually the rules don't apply. And what we're going to do is think about that a little bit further in a few moments' time. We'll pick that up in a few moments. But what we're going to do first, though, is we're going to sing again, and then I'll talk again. So let's stand and sing again, and let's sing Happy Days together. Really singing about Happy Day in the middle of a prison thing. Hopefully be clearer. So Paul and Silas, think about that passage again that we heard a few minutes earlier. Paul and Silas have landed themselves in a spot of brother, haven't they? Just a bit of background. They're in Philippi looking for a place to worship when they've been met by a possessed servant girl who was being financially exploited by her owners. Paul turns to the servant girl and says, "By the power of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." Their business venture collapsed around them, in one word, and they sought revenge. So what did they do? They dragged the innocent Paul and Silas to the local authorities and said, "These men are Jews and making trouble in our city. They are teaching things that are not right for us as Romans to do." Now, it's clearly untrue. And I think they could probably demonstrated that as well. But the local crowd turned against them as well. So the authorities, I think, probably manipulated and, you know, feeling a bit weakened by it all, had Paul and Silas humiliated, beaten, and then thrown into jail. And the jailer was ordered to guard them carefully. And to make sure there could be no possibility of escape, he puts them in the deepest, darkest part of the prison, pins them under two big, large blocks of wood to make sure they couldn't escape. There would be no escape on his watch. Why? Because it's too dangerous for him. I know it's part of his job, but actually it was dangerous for him. Of course, in the midst of all this, God was heavily at work, wasn't he? He had begun by deliberately sending Paul and his companions to Philippi, over into Europe and then into Philippi. And now he was busily building his church in Philippi. It began with that businesswoman they heard about briefly last week. I'd love to have spoken more about her, and another time I will. That businesswoman, Lydia, and her household. That was the beginning point of that church. And then he added this formerly possessed servant girl. And now he had plans for the jailer and his household. God's strategy, which I mentioned last week, is now playing out before our eyes. He's prevented them from going one way. And Paul and Silas can go one way into Asia and then go and send them into Europe. And he has this deliberate plan of action in mind for this new church. And it was to have in it people of diverse background. Whether that be through financial means, status in society, or gender. God was creating a church that was to be a model of just what his larger kingdom looks like. Now, have a think about it. So the larger kingdom, I mean the whole church across the world and across the ages. You think of the diversity of peoples in that church. And now look around your room now. I know that we're lower on numbers. Look around. Just don't look at me. Look around the people. Look at each other's faces. I know it's hard. it's a painful looking for not looking forward. We are even here. We are diverse people with all sorts of different backgrounds, ages, all sorts of different things. It's a wonderful thing, and that's just here. Let alone the whole church. It's wonderful, but we need to be careful. Let's go back to the story for a moment. We're going ahead of ourselves a little bit. Paul and Silas are in a dark prison, sitting with these blocks of wood on top of them, or on top of their legs. What happens? Well, remarkably, they begin to pray and sing songs. And the other prisoners are listening in. They're probably fascinated and slightly confused, I would think. I can't help but think that Paul might have had this incident in mind when he wrote his letter
to the Philippians some while later. What did it say? He actually says, we use the word rejoice, but in that translation it says, be full of joy in the Lord always. I will say again, be full of joy, rejoice, as we know from the other version. And then he goes on to say, do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. What do you think they were doing when they were, you know, had their legs trapped in this prison or in this jail? They were praying and singing and praising God and thanking him. Same thing was going on, full of joy. And there's a reflection, I think, between that letter and what this incident was. And obviously there's other things. It's a continual challenge to us that the writer of these words, Paul, endured incredible sufferings, and he continued to suffer incredible sufferings and persecution. And there was he effectively wrote them on death row as he was waiting for in his final days. However, how wonderful it is to be reminded that true joy can only be found in the Lord Jesus. That true joy is something precious, something we need to get hold of. But it's not rare, as we know something that is rare and precious in the world now, like diamonds or so. These things are rare. Joy is not rare. It's commonplace. We don't have to dig around for it as long. And we know the source, the Lord himself. And we have that reminder, don't we, that yes, we are encouraged to take our prayer requests to the Lord. And that's right that we do that. But we are to do so joyfully and with utter thanksgiving. And Paul and Silas are modeling that here when they're in this dark prison. So what happens? God intervenes. We are told, suddenly there is a strong earthquake that shook the foundation of the jail. It must have been incredible. Then all the doors of the jail broke open and all the prisoners were freed from their chains. Truly amazing. But that's not what the jailer thinks, is it? He's terrified. He thinks that's it. He's going to be killed. If your prisoners escape, you pay the price. And so what does he do? He starts making the necessary preparations to head off what was going on. And just as God intervenes with Paul and Silas, so God, through Paul, intervenes with the jailer. Don't hurt yourself. We are all here. Paul's sort of acting as a spokesperson, I think, for the whole jail. For some reason, it sounds like because of he has an influence there that goes beyond who he actually is, I suspect. And the jailer's response is quite remarkable. First of all, he checks to see that all's well. And then when he finds that he is, he asks the question, what must I do to be saved? That may be a question you've never asked yourself before. It might not have ever occurred to you that you needed to ask the question. However, I would suggest that without Jesus, our position is exactly the same as the jailer's. We face certain death. We face the inevitable consequences of our sinfulness, our rebellion, our deliberate turning away from God and going our own way. We all need to ask that same question, what must I do to be saved? And the short answer is nothing in some ways. There's nothing you can do. The plan isn't yours, it's God's. And Paul and Silas is sort of clear in the sense that they say that. They say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's it. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and all the people in your house. And they taught the good news of Jesus to the jailer and the household. The same answer awaits us if we are genuinely asking ourselves. We are to believe and trust in Jesus as the one who rescues us from our certain death, and to accept his lordship over every aspect of our lives. It's quite clear that the jailer responds to their answer as he immediately cares for Paul and Silas's wounds. Before he'd met with Jesus, he didn't bother, he didn't care, did he? He just threw them into jail, locked them up. He acted out of self-interest, ensuring that they couldn't escape because his life was on the line. But now he went out of his way to care for his brothers in Jesus. And the best way of seeing whether someone truly believes or not is how they love fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. If someone just doesn't care or doesn't want to meet with them, that's a clue, isn't it? Surely. It's no accident that we are known by the way that we love one another. And that can be done in small ways, can't it? It can be done by visiting one another, helping one another out, phoning one another, feeding one another. Or it can be in more sacrificial ways, such as taking time out to visit someone regularly if they're ill. Or perhaps giving lifts to hospital for appointments or something like going out of our way with one another. I can't help but think that the more that we open our homes to one another, is that's another signal that we're prepared to act in a sacrificial way, because we have to be vulnerable to open our homes to one another. That's a signal that we are prepared to be vulnerable. However, the most precious thing we can do, I think, is simply spending time to pray for one another. Take an interest and pray. And look to sit under the authority of Scripture, gently challenging and encouraging one another with the words that we ourselves have been challenged and encouraged by. You're not going to get there anywhere else. You go to the pub or to a cafe or anywhere else, you're not going to be challenged in that same way or encouraged in the same way. We have to do that ourselves, and that's how we love one another, by doing those things. The other demonstration of change is simply that the whole household was baptized. They were demonstrating in that symbolic washing clean that's the thing that had already happened in believing in Jesus. It was instantaneous almost. They got on with it straight away. And then we read finally that the jailer did open his home up to Paul and Silas. It must have been a wonderful, joyous occasion, as he and his family were very happy, joyful, because they had believed in God. What a transformation that is. For someone prepared to kill themselves to someone who's prepared, just been joyful with their newfound brothers in Christ. But our story doesn't quite end there, does it? Not quite. Paul and Silas have been mistreated, and they wanted an apology, because the actions taken against them as Roman citizens were illegal. The authorities had acted illegally. Thus they were given this full and very public apology and were freed from jail in person by the authorities. What a turnaround. Once free, they immediately go to Lydia's house, presumably with the intention of encouraging the new fledgling church there with news of the events from the night before and news of further growth to their church, new brothers and sisters to deal with. God's unfolding plan is an amazing thing. It's something we can't see in its entirety. Neither would we want to, but I don't think we could cope. It has the most unexpected things happening within it. And it happens to the most unexpected of people at times. And yet it means that all of us who believe in Jesus have undertaken the greatest escape possible, greater than ever any of the greatest escape films ever produced. God's plan is one that cannot be thwarted at the last moment by human intervention, but one that we will see come to its fruition as the Lord Jesus himself welcomes us home at the end of the escape run.